Chapter 7. The bottle-green gem glinted under the firelight, and I stared down at the Herald Corps resting in the center of my palm. The rain lashed against Ithaca's library window, and it dawned on me I might still be recovering from the shock of the Ramlord's unexpected gift. When I'd urged him to take it back, he shook his head with a fond smile and looked me in the eye.
"Alex, I would stake my 6th rank status on the fact that you probably spent the entire hunt helping other people," the Asher Lord had said. "You probably weren't even thinking about reaping the spoils of victory. Am I right?"
"Well," I'd rubbed the back of my neck, but Mech wouldn't take no for an answer. Now I had 2 Herald Corps, and one of them was green. I sat up from the comfortable, oversized chair, pulled the orange Herald Corps Redburn also gifted me from my pocket, and set both gems side by side on the low table in front of me. Then I pulled out the mysterious package still wrapped in its tattered cloth cover and placed it next to the glittering gemstone so I could contemplate the items again like I had been for the last hour since I'd arrived home.
"There you are,"
Zoe purred from the library entrance, and she strolled across the plush royal blue rug on her bare kitten feet. She was freshly bathed, so her complexion was rosy with a pleasing flush, and her ocean eyes were half-lidded in relaxation.
"When did you get back, my love?"
I leaned back in the armchair to make room so Zoe could cuddle up on my lap. "Not too long ago," I said, as I pulled her close and buried my nose in her damp hair that smelled of violets. "Jenner told me you all needed to scrub up."
"We had to stop and hide a lot, and we even had to take a detour across the stream on foot,"
Zoe explained as her ears went back in irritation.
"Valorala did not make it easy, and at one point she lost her footing, so I had to dive in after her."
"I'm sorry," I said, as I slipped the silky jade robe she was wearing off one shoulder so I could swirl idle patterns into her skin, and I hid a fond smile into her hair when I realized the robe she was wearing was actually Shay's. "Thank you for trusting me. I knew you would get everyone home safely."
"We are a team. The burden of protecting them does not lie with you alone."
She butted her head under my chin, and I cupped her thigh with one hand so we could cuddle even closer for a moment. Finally, she lifted her head again and gestured to the small table.
"Tell me, how did you get 2 Herald Corps?
"Gavlane gave me the green core, and Asher Redburn gave me the orange one," I said.
"No doubt, because instead of trying to improve your status, you are probably running around and trying to help everyone around you,"
she said. "That's basically what Gavlane said. I'm starting to think that means I'm doing this Asher thing all wrong."
"Actually, I think you are doing this Asher thing right for once,"
she murmured, nosed behind my ear, and then took a big sniff. "That tickles," I giggled, as she then buried her face in my neck. "What are you doing, kitten?"
"I'm scenting you,"
she said, and I shivered at the feeling of her tongue laving lightly over my clavicle.
"Your natural aroma is most pleasing to me, and I want to smell like you before you wash it all off."
"Well, that's just fine," I croaked, as arousal simmered low in my belly. She hummed and kneaded my shoulders with both hands.
"Your smell changed just now. Thinking pleasurable thoughts."
"Thinking about how beautiful you are," I said, and kissed her gently on the lips.
"Are you two up to it again without me?"
Shay's teasing musical voice interrupted, which caused both Zoe and I to break apart with a guilty chuckle. "There's room for you too, sweetheart," I said, and patted my right leg.
"Isn't this nice?"
she cooed, and joined our cuddle puddle. "Very nice," I agreed, as I combed my hand through her crimson hair, now that it was returned to its normal down state. Shay was dressed in her nightclothes, a pair of satiny pants, and a flowy blouse that looked as comfortable as it was sheer. In her hand, she held a small glass vial, which she uncorked with her teeth.
"What were we all discussing?"
my phoenix wife asked, as she draped my right arm over her lap, poured out some sort of oil from the vial that smelled like sandalwood, and began to massage it into my scar.
"We were waiting for you before we got too deep into... into... Oh. I groaned as my eyes rolled back in bliss, and I lost my train of thought. Ever since I grabbed that bolt with my bare hands, a tight ache had started up right where the curse burned me and caused my fingers to tremble with fatigue. But the feeling of Shay's massaging, along with the warming tingle of the oil, turned my brain into mush in seconds. I thudded my head back against the cushioned chair back. Zoe, help. Words.
I think what our husband is trying to say is we'd only just started debriefing each other before you walked in.
Zoe took pity on me and completed what I was trying to say.
You didn't miss much. I was telling him about Velrala.
Oh, yes. She did not handle things well, did she?
Shay commented absently, as she continued to work her sharp little fingers into the meat of my tense arm. It was heaven. How is she settling in? I asked, as I managed to pull together some coherent thoughts. Is she inside the walls?
For now. I have her set up on the second floor next to Horace's room. But when she feels more settled, she expressed interest in moving to one of the farmhouses,
Zoe said.
Velrala suggested she herself live in one of the farmhouses?
Shay eyed Zoe with an arched eyebrow.
That doesn't seem like her. What with her high standards and all.
That does seem odd, I remarked, as I wiggled my fingers. The tremors had disappeared, and I squeezed Shay's hand in silent thanks. Maybe she's turned around.
The threat of returning to the traders might have been enough,
the catwoman murmured, and her eyes took on that faraway look again.
None of that, darling,
Shay cooed, and reached across so she could lace her fingers with Zoe's.
Stay here with us.
The catwoman blinked a few times and then gripped Shay's hand, followed by mine as she smiled. I, for one, am glad we all made it back safe and sound, I said, and kissed both my wives on their temples.
Husband, you were just explaining to me about how you were gifted not one but two Herald Corps,
Zoe said.
He was gifted both of them?
Shay gasped and glanced at the gem still sitting on the table.
Even the green one? Aren't the green ones supposed to be more powerful than the common red and orange ones? At least that's what I remember Horace saying.
Why exactly did Lord Mac give you the green one, by the way?
Zoe suddenly turned to me. I might have saved the sacred waters from being poisoned or something like that, I said with an offhand shrug.
Wait, what?
Shay practically squawked.
The ancient tithe pool was attacked?
There was this really gross, fat demon with wings that wanted to drool into the water. And Mech told me to take it out, so I did, I explained. But don't worry, the pool is fine. However, the ceremony has been moved to Gelavane's estate in Gatetown.
Why there?
Zoe asked. There was some damage done to the revolving staircase. I left my answer deliberately vague, seeing as how Mech requested silence about the possible sabotage of the sacred stair. Vane was the one who suggested the ceremony be relocated, but I'm not sure why he insisted on having it at his estate. Isn't there another place, like a lake or something, that Dawn could bless?
The only lake big enough is the one in Gatetown, but it is tainted simply because of the people who fish from the waters,
Shay said.
Even if the entire Elemic Order came to do the honors, it wouldn't be enough to make it pure. Vane's estate is the second largest aside from the Asher Lord's palace, and wholly untouched.
How convenient, I grumbled under my breath. Oh yeah, that guy definitely had something up his sleeves.
How did you fell the beast?
Zoe asked. The crossbow, I answered.
How did you ever get that ancient thing to fire properly?
Her blue eyes widened. I almost didn't, I said. And then, because I had both of their captive attention, I jumped into recounting my daring battle on the back of my trusty steed while I took down the beast. When I got to the part where I was forced to course-correct the last bolt after the crossbow broke, I had them eating out of the palm of my hand.
You managed a time stop,
Zoe breathed in awe when I was finished, and I grinned as a proud smile unfurled on her face. Yeah, I squeezed her thigh.
It is quite impressive, husband, but forgive me.
Shay started and wiggled a little in my lap.
I just may die of curiosity if you don't tell me what's in that package.
I barked out a laugh and rubbed my nose against hers.
Me too. Mech gave it to me, but he told me to wait to open it until I was in private. The anticipation is killing me. But I wanted to wait for you two.
No time like the present,
Shay said and leaned over so she could grab the package and handed it to me.
Open!
Okay. I wiggled my fingers into her ribs, and she shoved at me while giggling madly.
All right, do it already. I'm dying to know,
my phoenix wife said breathlessly, and I conceded only because I was just as eager.
It's a book,
Zoe remarked when I removed the cloth.
Or half of one, anyway.
She was right. Mech had gifted me with an ancient tome with only the front half of the book intact. The cover was weathered and cracked at the corners, and the image of the sun and the moon on the spine was faded. In the center of the cover was an odd shape that looked like an upside-down omega symbol with a dot in the middle. And when I flipped the book open, I saw the whole thing was written in the same style, and totally unreadable.
This is an alchemical text,
Shay said after we all spent a moment flipping through the pages. There were a few pictures drawn on some of the pages that looked interesting, but without a way to understand the language it was written in, they were mysteries.
Can you read what it says?
Zoe asked her.
No, only an alchemist can read the runes,
the phoenix woman replied as she traced one finger along the encrypted words.
Oh, brother, how I wish you were here right now. Why did the Asher Lord give you this?
He said he knew I wanted to experiment with herald cores and thought this might help, I explained, and wrapped the book back up in its cloth for a modicum of protection. Now all we need is our alchemist back.
However long that will be,
Shay sighed. Not too much longer, remember, I reminded her. Mech's sisters will be arriving shortly, and according to him, they'll help us sort everything out. You'll see. We'll have Horus back in no time.
Yes, but until then, you must get prepared to pass the trials of the ceremony,
Zoe said with an expression that meant she was going to take it upon herself to be my personal trainer for the next several days. Yes, dear, I smiled. But take pity on me tonight, and stay with me a little longer. The next few days panned out pretty much the way I thought they would. I would wake up early before the sun thanks to my taskmaster wives who alternated depending on need. Shay would help me wake up because she was one of those freaks of nature who automatically woke up before the sun every day. And then I would climb up to the terrace in the north courtyard so I could get some meditation in. Of course, there was no change there. In my subconscious mind, my dreams always took me to the same scene. Miles and miles of endless ocean stretched out in front of me. A race against a behemoth fish with chrome-colored eyes. A tempest. And it always ended with me following a voice down into the inky depths. It was frustrating. But I kept my nose to the grindstone and kept meditating, even with that heavy shield above my head. After that was over, Zoe would then take over by forcing me to eat a quick but filling breakfast while she dragged me toward the ballroom-turned-home gym she decorated for me for this express purpose. She set a rigorous but measured pace that strengthened my muscles but didn't exhaust me. And every time I felt my stamina pushed to the limit, she backed off and let me catch my breath. I'd never had such an intuitive trainer, and I could feel myself improving bit by bit. When we'd both worked up an appetite, we would break for lunch where Rylan inevitably talked my ear off about all the awesome things the Raccoon Brothers were teaching him as we sat around the kitchen table. Then I would do some chores if there were any, check up on our new resident Velrala who was apparently suffering from a cold, practice with that heavy shield yet again, have dinner, and then collapse face first and let my gorgeous wives massage my aching body before I made love to both of them. It was a comfortable routine we'd all fallen into, and even though the very real and very daunting task of the tithing ceremony was bearing down on me, I had Ithaca as my true north, and my wives as my steadfast anchors. This particular afternoon, Rylan convinced me to go with him after lunch because he wanted to show me something in the greenhouse.
"Is that heavy?"
Rylan asked, as he led us to the upper field by walking backwards. I blew a stream of air up my face so my hair wouldn't be in my eyes, and I hefted the shield higher. "What do you think?" I grumbled as my muscles strained. Since the ceremony was 2 days away, I'd taken to carrying the shield with me everywhere.
"I couldn't do it.
the stable boy said, as he deftly stepped over a tree root without looking.
I couldn't do what you're doing. Make sure you don't trip over something, kid, I snorted as he basically cartwheeled backwards over a smattering of boulders.
Rylan laughed and twirled around to face forward. When we finally approached the humble yet elaborate doors to the greenhouse, I let myself take a break from the shield and set it against the wall of the structure.
Okay, are you ready?
Rylan asked, as he tried to contain his 1,000-watt enthusiasm.
Lead on, my good sir, I commanded,
and he giggled at the weird voice I was using. Then Rylan tugged my wrist as he opened the doors, and my jaw nearly hit the ground at what I saw inside.
See?
He enthused and gestured to the rows of green sprouts pushing through the dark earth.
They're growing!
Those are the coley seeds we planted? I gasped, as I crouched down to get a better look. Each sprout was a feathery green thing that reminded me of a bromeliad, each with the smallest white forget-me-not-type blossom at the very top.
But we just planted them.
The coley is a fast-growing plant,
Mel said from above us where he was hanging the last of the hand-woven hives all of us made out of ashroot vines.
The blossoms are at the perfect stage to start pollinating.
Good thing we have our beautiful bumblebirds,
Shay said, as she breezed into the greenhouse with a cylindrical cage covered with a cloth. When she removed it, the creatures inside the metal cage looked like a combination of a hummingbird and an oversized fuzzy moth with 4 dragonfly wings, and when they flapped them, a chiming hum could be heard as if their wings were actually made of crystal.
They have been eager to move into their new home ever since they adopted their new queen, Lula.
Can I see the queen?
Rylan asked, as his boundless curiosity shone through his brown eyes.
Yes,
Shay said, as she came closer so she could set the cage on the ground.
In fact, I was hoping you would do the honors of carrying her up to her nest in the middle up there.
The Phoenix woman pointed upward at the hive hanging down from the middle rafter.
What do I do?
He asked eagerly, as Shay and I exchanged fond looks over his head. Shay then knelt down on one knee, opened the cage, and gently gathered the largest of the bumblebirds into the palm of her hand.
Come here,
she murmured to the stable boy, and gestured for him to hold out one of his own hands.
Now, you must hold Lula securely, but gently. She is missing 3 of her 4 wings.
What happened to her?
Rylan asked with a devastated expression on his young face.
Some people who collect bumblebirds just for the aesthetic value like to remove all their wings except one,
she explained, and placed the bumblebird in the center of Rylan's hand. Lula wiggled her tiny body, looked up at the stable boy with her big magenta eyes, and batted her long lashes.
Why would anyone ever do that?
He gasped in a horrified tone as he carefully clutched the queen bumblebird closer to his chest.
I guess some people find the noise they make annoying,
Shay said with a sneer.
That's terrible,
Rylan choked out in a suspiciously wet voice, and he petted the pretty little creature on the top of its arrow-shaped head.
But now she has found a home and people to take care of her,
Shay said, and helped Rylan up just as Mel brought over his ladder.
People like you. Go ahead, put her up there.
Okay.
The tender-hearted stable boy carefully climbed up the ladder like a hero returning a princess to her castle. Thanks, I murmured to Shay, as I tangled our fingers together.
I thought he might enjoy this,
she murmured back.
He's been quite underfoot lately, and Zoe and I keep trying to find things to keep him occupied while you've been training.
He has? I asked, as I watched Rylan whisper to the queen up in her nest. I haven't noticed.
So whatever it is you and Zoe are doing must be working. But if he's been so underfoot, maybe that's a sign I need to spend a little more time with him.
He understands you're busy with important things,
she said and squeezed my hand. I know, but I basically adopted him as my son, not as a live-in chore boy or a novelty piece of furniture. And I just hope he knows that, I said with a frown. I felt that way in the past, and it's a rotten thing to feel like you're being ignored.
I don't know how anybody could have ignored you,
my phoenix wife sighed and leaned her head on my shoulder.
I know I couldn't when I first laid eyes on you.
I kissed her on the head and hid a smile in her crimson hair.
You dad!
Rylan whined as he hopped off the last rung of the ladder.
I'm on to you, you know, I said,
and sauntered over to him so I could snare him in a headlock.
Hey!
He laughed and tried to squirm away.
You can't just say that to try and shock me out of being all mushy with my wife, I said as I gave him a noogie. One of these days you'll keep saying it, and the shock'll wear off.
So, you're saying I should say it more often?
He ventured, and the odd tone in his voice made me let him go so I could look at his face. Only if you want to, I told him, as I placed both hands on his shoulders so the remainder of his suddenly uncertain expression would disappear. And I smiled and turned back to Shay. What's next?
Next, we release the hive,
the Phoenix woman said.
The Bumblebirds?
Zoe's voice entered the greenhouse a moment later, and Shay laughed her sultry laugh.
I haven't missed it, have I?
You are perfectly on time,
the Phoenix woman said, and ran over to pull Zoe closer by the wrist.
Would you like to do the honors, darling?
Show me how,
the Catwoman said just as eagerly, if not more so, than Rylan had.
Stand here.
Shay instructed Zoe to stand right under the hive Lula was in as Mel moved the ladder away.
Now, hold the cage in one hand and with the other open the door. Lula will do the rest.
Zoe did what she was told, and when she opened the small cage door, I watched as the Queen Bumblebird poked her magenta head out of the hive and gave a long musical trill. The Bumblebirds in the cage responded one at a time with their own trills as if they were doing a sort of roll call. Then, one by one, they started up their crystalline wings and filed out of the cage single file. All of us gathered, watched in awe as the majestic little creatures started up a song and dance. They swirled up to the hive in a display of what looked like dozens of soap bubbles on parade because of the way their diamond wings caught the light and formed little iridescent halos around each and every one. It was quite a sight. But it paled in comparison to the adoring looks on my family's faces as they took this simple moment to enjoy the beauty of the Bumblebird Symphony.
Oh, beautiful,
Zoe sighed, and looped her arm through Shay's. Gorgeous, I echoed. But I wasn't talking about the display.
Dad,
Rylan hissed at me and nudged my side.
You got that mushy look again.
One day, you're going to meet a nice girl, and I'll be making fun of your mushy look, I snickered, as I leaned my arm on top of his head.
Never,
he said, and crossed his arms with a humph.
Sure,
I needled, until he shoved me off his head.
Darling,
Shay called over to where Rylan and I had started roughhousing.
Yes, dear,
I asked, as I straight-armed the scrappy kid right in the center of his forehead so he couldn't hit me with his twiggy fists.
Zoe and I are going to talk to Velrala,
she continued and tried not to grin.
She will soon be well enough to start her duties as housekeeping staff.
Do you want me to come with? I asked, and I switched hands on Rylan's head as if I was bored.
No, it's just estate management stuff that your wives have well in hand,
she giggled.
You two enjoy your time.
Maybe you can teach Rylan to spar,
Zoe suggested with a cheeky wink. And then the two of the mischievous minxes waltzed out the door.
Where were they going?
Rylan asked when he finally stopped the futile effort to land a jab. To do girl duties, I said.
Oh, yeah,
he said casually and scuffed his shoe against the ground.
So, did you want to spar, or?
I swallowed a laugh at how he tried to play it cool despite the fact it was clear he really wanted to. Did you get all your chores done? I asked, and then inwardly groaned at how dad-like that sounded.
Yes!
His shoulder straightened, but then drooped a moment later.
Well, technically no, but yes for now.
What? I raised my eyebrows to make it clear I didn't follow a word of that train wreck.
The only thing left is to put the porax in the barn, but that's not until evening,
he said, and scratched his head. All right, then let's spar in the barn until we have to go get Ben and Jerry, I suggested.
Really?
He asked with a bright puppyish grin.
Race ya!
And then my precocious foster son took off out of the greenhouse before I could blink.
No fair,
I hollered through a delighted laugh, as he one-upped me at my own game, and then I raced after him. I could tell he had also been working on his stamina because he kept up his breakneck speed longer than usual, but I eventually outpaced him. And I chuckled when he barreled into me with another cry of,
Hey!
Oh, you're getting stronger, I said, and pinched his skinny arm between two of my fingers. Keep it up, and you might win one day.
One day, always one day,
he grumbled as he flexed his scrawny bicep. I had the same build as you as a kid, I said, as I led us into the large Dutch-style barn. Don't worry, you'll fill out. Now, come on. Throw your best jab right here into my palm. I readied my stance and held my right hand up for him.
Okay.
He then swung a haymaker at me that would have made Donkey Kong jealous. Missed my hand by a mile, and almost knocked himself off his own feet if I hadn't caught him. Whoa there, Bruce Lee. Take it easy, I chuckled, and steadied him back on his feet. Not bad for your first shot, kiddo, but you don't have to expend that much energy to be just as effective. Start by planting your feet shoulder-width apart. Pretend your feet are rooted to the ground so you don't fall over when I do this. I pushed his already gawky frame off-center so he would fall on his butt.
Ugh, Dad!
He exclaimed with a pout, and I just grinned wider when he called me that for the third time. The shock of hearing it really was starting to wear off, especially whenever I could see flashes of myself in him. It was odd, and made even odder by the fact we weren't actually related by blood, but I actually understood the appeal in having kids for once. I used to think anyone desperate to have children must be harboring some narcissistic tendencies to want to add their squalling spawn to the overpopulated cesspool of the world. But now that I was in the position of father figure, it was different from anything I'd ever imagined. Seeing myself in this ragamuffin didn't give me any sort of fawning pride over myself like some fat-headed douche. No. Instead, it made me want to protect him from people who didn't understand or disapproved of his quirks, and it made me want to elevate the parts of his character that were far better than mine. If that's what it was like to earn the title of Dad, then I would strive my hardest to keep hearing Ryland call me that. On your feet, soldier, hips above your feet, I said, and helped the pouting kid back to standing. Dig your heels in. Hands up to protect your chin, elbows in, head down. You don't want to leave your head or neck open and vulnerable.
Like this?
Ryland adjusted his stance with my guidance and waited for further instructions. Very good, I said, and tried to push him over again. But he'd grounded his center of gravity fairly well. Bend your knees more and stagger your feet for extra stability. There you go. Now, when you throw a jab, keep your hands loose and rotate your body on the follow-through. Watch. I stood parallel to him and demonstrated a left jab in slow motion. But when he tried it, he still put a little too much power into his punch and stumbled forward a step. Don't launch yourself forward, I corrected, and then kicked his legs further apart. Your power comes from your core, not your arm. I maneuvered around to stand in front of him again and brought my palm up again for him to hit. This time, when he jabbed, he had a lot more control.
Hey!
He said in surprise, after his fist connected with my hand with a satisfying smack. See? I grinned at him. Now, this time, extend your striking arm straight out while rotating your fist, and make sure to keep your chin tucked against your shoulder. We continued like this for a while, until Ryland had a pretty good handle on the jab, and we moved on to the right cross and various combinations thereof. Finally, Ryland threw me a 1-2 that had me taking a step back in surprise at how fast and accurate his strikes were compared to the start. Damn, kid, I said, and shook out my hands as if they ached. Oof, good job.
Thanks, but can we take a break? He panted. My arms feel like jelly. I've never been really strong. I don't know how you can swim so fast sometimes, even though you're not actually...
I frowned at his particular wording and saw the moment he realized what he just said too, because he snapped his mouth shut and hunched his shoulders like a guilty puppy that just peed on the rug. What are you talking about? I asked him carefully. Ryland, when have you seen me swim?
He stuttered. I haven't, not really. Well, I mean...
Ryland, I stopped him before he could go on a rambling tirade. I had a sinking suspicion I knew what he was going to say next, but I wanted to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. The stable boy took a deep breath and looked me in the eye.
I've seen you swim, he admitted, nearly every night in your dreams.